Glad you're here today. I think you're going to be blessed by sharing together with us. Before we get into the message, I just want to give you a little. Next week, we're starting a brand new series. I'm really excited about it. It's titled Standing Firm. It's actually going to be a study on the book of Daniel. Okay? It's going to be a section by section study on the book of Daniel. Standing Firm. We're going to talk about how to stand up for God, how to stand against things that are wrong in society and in life. Standing Firm. It's going to be a section by section study of the book of Daniel, and that's going to begin next Sunday. So we're really looking forward to that. But we're going to finish up today with our series on life on mission. We've been looking at this mission statement of First Church here, how we exist to help people fall in love with Jesus, that we're here to bring honor and glory to God and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. And our mission, as we fulfill that purpose, is to help anyone, everyone, and even to help you here today to fall in love with Jesus. We've looked at things like, our faith. What kind of faith do we have? Last week, we talked to you about Acts 20, verse 35, how it's more blessed to give than to receive, talking about generosity, that a life on mission is about being generous, not being stingy, not being selfish, but living a generous life. And we talked a lot about that. And today we're going to finish up, and we're going to be talking about our life with each other and our life with people out there. Okay? Now think about this for a moment as you think about, the relationships that you have with people here and out in the world. It's interesting because if you go back to 1894 when First Church was actually established and began here, the stated reason was so that the people of this community could experience the gospel message. I mean, think about it. That's why this church was established way back in the 1894, I think, was actually when it started. And as I thought about that, I thought about, that's kind of the reason every church was started. It's really easy as a body, as a church, to forget about and to forget why we existed in the first place. But here's the point. The same reason that started this church is the same reason that we should still exist today. And it's really easy to lose sight of that, to adopt something else as your mantra, as your mission, as your purpose. So we have to remind ourselves that the same reason that we were started, the same reason that we began as a church, should be the same reason that we exist today, to help and to love and to care about people in such a way that they come into the kingdom. I hope that people understand how much you care. I hope this community understands how much we care, that we want them to fall in love with the same Jesus that we did. This past week, I actually went to the doctor and I was sitting there talking to the nurse. You know how they go over your history and all this kind of stuff. And she said, how much coffee do you drink? And I said, I drink like 2 or 3 cups a day. She said, that's not too bad. And I said, now that I think about it, the cup that I drink it out of is like 16 ounces. So I guess I drink 2 or 3 of those a day. So she said, you're kind of getting up on the upper end of it. And then, at first I'm thinking, what business is it of yours? And then I realized she's concerned, right? When she wants to share with me the things about health and about wellness and why do we go to these people like that? It's because they have our best interest at heart. Well, you know what? I think the world looks at us and wonders how we think about them. There's a marvelous passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 2 talking about Jesus that says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Think about that. Have you ever wondered why Jesus had to remind his disciples, why he had to remind believers as to why he was here? I mean, he had to tell them, listen, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. I've come not to call the righteous or maybe the self-righteous, but I've come to declare salvation to sinners. But think about this for a minute. When you read that passage of Scripture, here's something that really jumps out at me. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. On hearing this, on hearing what? I mean, have you ever read this passage close enough to teach yourself and to learn what Jesus is talking about when he says, on hearing this, on hearing what? What was said, what was implied, what was asked that made Jesus respond, listen, I'm here for those that are sick. I'm not here for those that are healthy. A doctor's here for those that are sick, not for those that are healthy. I'm here to call sinners to have a relationship with God on hearing this. Well, let me show you what this is, because the very verse preceding this, in verse number 16, the question is asked about Jesus, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And here's the point, folks. An awful lot of people, maybe even some of us here today, would ask the very same thing. And I think one of the tragic things, the longer we are in the kingdom of God, is that we cease to rub shoulders with those people that need him, with those people that are lost. And it's easy to get to a point where we are desensitized, where we do not feel what we should feel when we are in the presence of the people that need him so very, very much. And it's easy to become so self-righteous, so judgmental, that when we're in the presence of these people, is that we're thankful, and we might even say it to God, that we're thankful that we're not like them or we're not in their position. When in reality, what should happen is that we feel something deep inside of us that wants them to have exactly what we have, salvation in Jesus. You see, when churches are started, that's why they're started. But then somewhere along the line, it's easy to lose sight of that. Think about it. In 1894, our church was born out of a desire to reach people. And somewhere along the line, the church reached you. But yet somewhere we lose sight of that, and through traditions or through this or that. I'll never forget one time. And when I was in college, we served a little church in Tennessee, and we had actually, our church had grown, and we had purchased a building that used to belong to a church, a group of believers that didn't use any music. Okay, it was one of these non-instrumental churches, and they used no music. But we bought the building, and the first thing that we hauled a big nice piano in there. And I'll never forget it. The first Sunday that this couple had came to the church, and they were from out in the Midwest somewhere. And whenever they visited in Morristown, Tennessee, is where it was, they would attend this church. But they hadn't gotten the word that they had sold this church and moved, and this other group that loved music had bought the building. And I'll never forget it, that we were standing there, and this couple came in, and I introduced myself, and it's like, wow, man, we have some visitors. And this was back when this was a big deal. It's like, this is awesome. We got some new people. Well, the lady hit the first note on the piano, and these people stood up and like ran out of the church. They ran out of the church just as fast as they could go, because that wasn't their thing. Sometimes we can lose sight of the most important thing, and that's people to come to know Jesus, and we hold tightly to traditions, maybe even man-made traditions, and we make them as important or even more important than the things that should be most important. So they ask, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know the answer to that question? The answer to that question, he does that because they are the ones that need him the most. So here you and I are today, thinking about living a life on mission, And I just want to encourage you to know that the church exists to reach people with the gospel. That's why we're here. And if we're here for any other reason, it's not the reason that God wants us to do what we do. The church exists to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we are doing what we're doing here for any other reason than that, it's for the wrong reason. Now, every week I've asked you to rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 10 on something. Today I want you to think about your life and how you love people. Now, you may be here this morning, you think, listen, I love people. You know, I love people. It was really kind of funny yesterday. Arlene said to me, because we've lived in our house now for a little over a year, but we have some neighbors, you know, that we're just getting to know, and we have a lady across the street from us, and she's a widow, and Arlene, she said, John, go over there and check on Janet, make sure that she's okay. And I said, I just call her and see, you know, there's 2 feet of snow out there. Just call her and see. I don't have her phone number. You need to walk over there and see how she's doing. Well, I got over there. Nothing had been plowed at her house, and I'm going through the snow, you know, like this, and I'm literally thinking in my mind, she's okay. I'm going back home. Then our thought, you know what? Arlene's going to ask me the same thing that Jesus would ask me. Is she okay? Okay, so instead of assuming I needed to have some knowledge of that. See, here's the thing, folks. When you look at people in need, when you look at people that are hurting, when you look at people that are sick, when you experience people that are struggling, how does it make you feel? Matter of fact, let me give you some pointers here that'll help you realize where on this scale that you need to be. I mean, things like this. Have you ever led anybody to Jesus Christ? I mean, have you ever talked to anybody about their place in the kingdom, about their salvation? Have you ever told anybody about the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus? Have you ever prayed with someone to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior? Or maybe if you haven't done that, let me ask it this way. Are you praying for anybody specifically right now that doesn't know the Lord? A neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a family member? Have you ever brought somebody to church? Have you ever led someone to find their place in the kingdom of God? Because you know what? If we're not praying for those people, specific people, if we're not actively trying to share with them the knowledge and the grace and mercy of Jesus, I think then this situation where they're asking, why does he hang around tax collectors and sinners? We need to understand why Jesus did that and why we should do it. There's a great story in this same context in Mark chapter 2 that I want to share with you this morning and teach you from. It's really interesting because it's talking about somebody that brings someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Isn't that amazing? I mean, when you read this passage of Scripture, I think that there are some lessons that jump off the page at me, and I think they should jump off the page at you about how we should help and care and love other people with the love of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple things. First of all, we should be willing to help carry people's burdens. We should be willing and able to help carry people's burdens. He says there in verse 3, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. You see, folks, when you and I read this passage, we should understand and realize, first of all, that people are skeptical of us, people of faith. And secondly, why people of the world are skeptical of our faith. Because we think our first priority in life is to tell them what's true. But yet this story by Jesus demonstrates that what we need to do first is show them that we care. I mean, the world doesn't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And don't miss something that's very subtle in this story that I think that is very, very important. It says that, it doesn't say that they invited this man. It says that they brought him to Jesus. Think about that. I mean, and think about where we are. Listen, I wouldn't mind. I would invite anybody to come to church. Well, they didn't invite him. They brought him. They carried him. It was a great burden the way that they did it, but they were willing to carry that burden because what it meant was getting this man who needed Jesus to him. These four guys couldn't get their buddy to Jesus because the crowd was so big. But notice that it seems that Jesus is describing a crowd that wasn't paying any attention to their need, to his need. I mean, don't you think that if everybody's hearing Jesus talk about the healing that he could bring, his willingness to offer that healing, and here comes four guys carrying a paralyzed fella on a mat, don't you think that they would like step aside? You know why they didn't? Because these four men were committing the greatest cardinal sin in our society today. You know what it is? Skipping the line. Is this not true? I mean, these guys, they were skipping the line. These people that were crowded around Jesus, I got here first, and I'm not moving to let you in. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Night before last, I went by, as everyone else did, within a 100-mile radius, and got milk and bread. I don't know why, we never really eat milk and bread, but that's what you get. So I went by the store, I picked up a few things, and I go up front to pay, and I see this one line, there's not very many people, and as I'm starting into the line, here comes this little lady, she's all by herself, she's got several things in her cart, and she's going to go in the line, and I just nudged her out. No, I let her go first. You'd have been really proud of me. But isn't it easy to get into this area of life where you feel entitled? I was here first. Get in line. Right? These fellas, they didn't do that. They carried this guy. He was a burden, but yet the crowd that was there, they weren't paying any attention. In other words, he was hurting, but they didn't see it. I mean, is it easy for us to be that way? I mean, have you ever been in the presence of somebody and you all of a sudden you realize something's not quite right, and then the person says, "You know what? My mother died," or a young lady says, "You know what? I was pregnant, but I lost the baby, and I was sick and this and that." You see, folks, the most beautiful thing in the world is when the Church of Jesus Christ understands the heavy burdens that people carry, and they help them carry those burdens. You see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, offer comfort to others. Offer the same comfort to others that God has given to you. You know, he's just emphasizing the fact that woe be you if you receive that comfort, but then are not in tune with the need of other people. So see, that's the first lesson. They were willing to carry some burdens. The second thing, and this might seem a little strange to you at first when I share with you, but these guys were also willing to break some rules. You know, these guys were always also willing to break some rules. You see, we live in a time now where I don't know when it happens, but we get to a point where we feel like that we just always have to color between the lines. It never was like that when we were younger, was it? I mean, am I the only one here that I never waited 30 minutes to go back in the swimming pool after I ate? I just didn't do it, right? I always thought that was just like a, you know, that was like the lifeguard told you that because he wanted to take a 30-minute break so he could talk to the good-looking girls in the bathing suits, right? You know, never, you know, or just a rule breaker. You know, we seem to think that there's certain rules even in the kingdom of God, that there's lines that we shouldn't cross, there's traditions that we shouldn't mess with. And when you read this story, the really cool thing is that they were willing to break some rules. I mean, think about it. He describes here how that they couldn't get this man close to Jesus, so they dug a hole in the roof. And digging the hole through the roof, they lowered the man on the mat down at the feet of, and I can just see Jesus here teaching, and all of a sudden this guy just comes right down at his feet, and there he is. You know, they were rule breakers. I mean, think about it. It doesn't say, matter of fact, it implies just the opposite, it wasn't their house. Right? But yeah, they were willing to dig a hole in the roof if that was what was separating them from being able to get this man to Jesus. You know, I think of things like, how did they lower him? Did they just happen to have some rope on them? Or did they each take off their belt and use it to lower the guy? Or what did they do? Well, it really doesn't say that, but it's obvious that they were willing to stretch the limits of what was acceptable in order for this guy to be in the presence of Jesus. You know, there was a time when we didn't think about that. We never thought twice to not wear a helmet when we rode our bike or to wear a seatbelt in the car or even run with scissors in our hands. You know, we were rule breakers. But yet when it comes to the kingdom of God, we seem to think that we need to make sure that we stay within the boundaries of acceptable behavior. But listen, folks, we need to step out of that. You know, I think of people like Bob that I met not too long ago, and he was telling me about the ministry that he had in a prison. And he was sharing with me, and I've happened to been in that facility a time or two, and I began to say to him some things about how, well, I didn't know you could do that, and I didn't know you know, and he was like, you know, he said something like, it's amazing what you can do as long as you don't ask permission. And when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus Christ, we need to push the limits. You know, 100 years ago, the church was the epicenter of creativity in our culture. Did you know that there was a time that the church drove the arts? There was a time when the church was the center of a community, even the center of a city. It led the way in influencing culture. There was a time when the church attracted the brightest minds and the most innovative thinkers. But yet today, it seems that the church is only for those people that want to play it safe. But yet, as the church, we should be equipped. There should be no organization better equipped to take the word to our generation than the church. Matter of fact, if you think about it, all those companies out there, if you think about Apple and Hollywood and the things that they're doing, they're innovative, and they're willing to stretch the limits of what's acceptable. And folks, you and I, as believers, as members of the kingdom of God, we should move from the perspective of wanting to have to. Because Jesus Christ has commissioned you and me to take the message of the gospel to our generation and to our world. And you know what? There's not a one of us that would say that we don't want to do that. Certainly we want to do that. Well, not only do we want to, we have to. Because there's no one else to do it. So when you see the church, I hope that you see people that are caring. I hope that you see, I hope that you are a person who are willing to carry some burdens and even willing to break some rules so that people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because you see, it's really easy to just be those that judge others that are without Christ instead of those that love others to Christ. We need to understand that Jesus didn't come for the healthy. But he came for the sick. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. And we should be willing to rub shoulders and to share with these people in life in ways that show them how beautiful it is to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Matter of fact, let's say it this way. We should be willing to do anything short of sin to tell others about the message, about the grace that they can have in Jesus Christ. So as you see these four friends, let's learn some lessons. Let's don't be like the rest of the crowd that doesn't notice the needs around them, but let's be those that carry those burdens and even break some rules in order for other people to come to know Jesus Christ. But here's the bottom line, and this is what I want to leave you with. If you're not doing it, then we're not doing it. Another way is that we're not doing it unless you're doing it. I know how it goes, and I've been there myself. It's easy to think, you know what? Yes, the church needs to be that kind of person. The church needs to carry other people's burdens. Church needs to push the envelope to do things in innovative and creative ways so that the gospel can be shared. But unless you're doing it, it's not being done. Because you are the church. We are the church. And we as a church, that we're not doing it unless you are doing it. You are the church. So the point is don't be like one of the crowd that's just standing around listening. Be one of the four friends who bear some burdens, who break some rules in order to get people to Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a challenging passage of Scripture. Lord, it's so easy to just be enamored by this story. But God, I pray that we can look at this story, we can read this story, and we can see where we fit in the story. I'm sure, Lord, that many, many, many of us were just the ones that are curious to be in the presence of Jesus, but yet we're oblivious to the needs around us. So God, may we know that the very reason that any church is established and born is so that people can come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. The reason that First Church of Christ ever came into existence in the first place is so the gospel could be preached in and around this community. And Lord, I pray that we still exist today for that very same reason. So Lord, may we not just be a part of the crowd standing around, even listening to you. But Lord, may we be a part of the group that is actively bringing others to you. And Lord, may we carry those burdens. May we do anything and everything short of sin to attract and to bring those folks to you. And then God, may their experience be the same experience that we've had, that this paralyzed man had in your presence. That Jesus complimented the four friends on their faith for bringing him and for doing what was necessary to get him before Jesus. So Lord, we pray that that would be the kind of life that we live. We pray, Lord, that that would be the kind of church that we are. And Lord, we know that if we're not doing it individually, then the church is not doing it, because we are the church. So Lord, may we make the commitment to be that kind of friend that's interested in bringing others to you to receive healing and hope. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.